Thank you again for all that you're coming all this way. I'm sure some of you were up early this morning. We really appreciate it. Any lawyers here? I got a lawyer's joke. Oh, we got one right here. Okay. Do you know, now you can only tell this joke in Kansas or Nebraska, but do you know how many lawyers it takes to grease a combine? Only one if you push him through real slow. Now, I have to admit, I stole that joke from Sam. Sam told me that joke. Now, Sam told that in Washington, D.C. one time, and nobody laughed. And his staff said, well, Governor, half the men were lawyers, and the other half don't know what a combine is. I can always sell that in Kansas and Nebraska. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 9. Are there any passages in the Scripture that scare you? This is one of those passages that scares me. Now, I'm in full-time Christian work, and it is important to me that when I finish my life that I've actually accomplished something. Sam just mentioned that. How we get to a place in life and we begin to evaluate whether or not our life is really having purpose, whether our life really mattered. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 9, and then I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about this for just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Now that's one of the themes for Every Man a Warrior, to raise up men who are expert builders of men. For no one can lay any foundation. Oh, for by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each person should be careful how he builds. There's a good word, careful. We're going to come back to that. For no man can lay any foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day of judgment, will bring it to light. And it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Now, the thing that bothers me about this passage is that well-meaning men, Christian men, can spend their lives in ministry, and without knowing it, they could be building ministries built on wood, hay, and straw. It says that happens here. And so one of the things that keeps me awake at night is, what does it mean to build a men's ministry that is built out of gold, silver, precious stones? By the grace God has given me, Paul said, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Man, this is possible. That same grace is available to you and I. Now, we look at our culture and we realize that we are headed the wrong direction and we're picking up speed as we're going down. Now, in the video we just watched, it said that for every 10 men in the church, 9 will have children that leave the church. 8 will not be satisfied with their jobs. 6 can only pay the monthly minimum on their credit cards. 5 will have a major problem with pornography. That number is actually too low now. And 4 will get divorced, affecting 1 million children a year. Is that the kind of results that we want out of our current men's ministry? In fact, if we think about this, isn't that a testament to what we've done in men's ministry, say, the last 30 years? Now, we're going to talk about this morning because it has become evident to me that if we are going to help men grow into the men that God wants them to be, we have to figure out how to build men's ministries with the grace that God gave us so that we can be expert builders of men. We want to build with gold, silver, precious stones. We don't want to build with wood, hay, or straw. And there's not a man here who wants to waste his life. There's not a man here who wants to wake up at age 70 and realize that his life had no or very little impact. The thing that breaks our hearts is when we see our children not following the Lord. For every 10 men in the church, 9 have some of their children reject the faith and not follow the Lord. That breaks our heart, and less than 10% of 20-year-olds in the United States today even attend church. Less than 10%. Whatever we're doing, we've got to do better. In my mind, it's something that we've got to change. And so this morning, we are going to talk about men's ministry that works. Ministry that actually helps men grow into the men that God would have them to be. And ministry that helps men have impact wherever they are. And just like Sam mentioned, you don't have to go all over the world. Not everybody's called to be a missionary, but you're called to go and make disciples right where you are. And every one of you has a unique array of relationships that no one else has. And if you are not a bright light in a dark world in that array of relationships, then most of those men probably will never see what a real Christian is like. We've got to figure out how to do men's ministry in a way that raises men to a new place in their spiritual life so that they walk with God, they succeed in life, and multiply. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the focus of this conference is that we could help men walk with God and love you with all their heart and walk with you all the days of their life. The focus of this conference is how to help men succeed in life because they go to the Scripture and they find biblical truth on money and marriage and raising children and sex and moral purity and work and going through hard times. And because they put the Scripture into practice, they can succeed. They can prosper. Their marriages don't have to fail. Their children don't have to leave the church. But we as men, we cry out to you because we have a problem, Lord, and that is we don't know what we don't know. And many of us don't know why our children turned away from God or why our marriages are headed south, and we just don't know what to do. And so, Lord, would you teach us today? Would you give us wisdom and insight into how to become the men that God, you would have us to be, how to walk with you for a lifetime, succeed in life, and then multiply. And we will give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Gentlemen, you have a place in your little packet there to take some notes. And so we're going to talk about men's ministry that works. Now, the thing that is clear to me is that when I talk to men's ministry, and I did church consulting for 5 years, and I would ask pastors or church leaders, elders, what is your plan to build the next spiritual leadership for the church, the next generation of men into spiritual leaders for the church? And I never got a good answer. Now, some pastors, when they felt safe with me, they'd say, Lonnie, that's something we just never talked about in seminary. So I found that there was a real gap. There was a real hole. What people didn't have is a clear target to shoot for in men's ministry. And so I coined a phrase for men's ministry called smorgasbord men's ministry. You know, a smorgasbord, you go and you just taste a little bit of this over here, and then you try a little of that, and then you come back because that was really good and eat a little of that, and then the next time you go over here and eat a little of this. And I found that in my own life. So every story I'm going to share, I want you to know that in the 1980s, when I came to Omaha, Nebraska, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, starting in men's ministry, I made every mistake you can make. I remember sitting around with other men, navigators, kind of wanting to find out what was the next big thing that we could do. Because I didn't have a clear target. I didn't know what I was going to build in men's ministry. So if there was a new book that came out, then that's what we would do. Or there's a new Bible study that came out, that's what we would do. And it was this smorgasbord. We'd do a little of this and we'd do a little of that. In reality, I did not have a clear target for my men's ministry. How many of you sometimes have felt that in the past? We don't know why we're doing what we're doing. We're having meetings, but You know, we just get together to get together. This is the statistics that we saw in the video and I just quoted here. And I want to ask you a question. Is this a fair evaluation that these statistics in general are caused by what we've been doing in men's ministry for the last 30 years? I know that's a hard question. Another question is, if we want to get different results, are we going to have to do something different? You with me on this? Yeah? Okay. Now, there are two key people in the New Testament that I believe we have to examine what they said, Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. And Jesus said, go and make disciples that would make disciples. We're going to come back to that. But here's Paul where he said, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. The first thing I think we've got to grasp is that there is a biblical template in the scripture for men's ministry. You don't have to go bounce around and do something different each year. You can have a clear target. Now, when Paul said he was an expert builder, if you apply that to anybody who's a builder of homes or a builder of businesses, expert builders know what they're trying to build. They start out with a template, don't they? They start out with a blueprint. And if we don't have a clear blueprint in men's ministry, then that's when we tend to go anywhere. Now, we're going to go through this quickly because many of you have already seen this, and this is in book one of Every Man a Warrior. But if there was one thing that I would like to turn the body of Christ in America back to, it would be this, the great commandment. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? By the way, it was a lawyer who did that. And Jesus didn't stutter. He quoted Deuteronomy 6. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first, and this is the greatest. This is the first, and this is the greatest. And men, you and I cannot build as expert builders into the lives of other men unless you help those men learn how to walk with God, learn how to spend time alone with God. Now, to do that, we're going to help men be in the Word, spend daily time with Jesus in the Word, and we're going to help them grow in prayer. If you're taking notes, I want you to get this next statement. Your love relationship with God, the great commandment, is the foundation for real life transformation. Men, do you know this? Your love relationship with God, spending time with God, is the foundation of real life transformation. When you, as a man, begin to spend time alone with God, you begin to hear God's voice. And until you and I are walking closely enough with God that we begin to hear His voice, either from the pages of Scripture or that still, quiet voice that He speaks to us, the Holy Spirit. Where's Joe Stout? Joe walked in this morning. Joe's back there. He said, hey, I heard there's a speaker here today. I said, well, yeah, I hope so. And he said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you, Lonnie. I said, good, good. I'm glad he's going to show up. There was a man in Omaha, Nebraska. We have Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. And there was a guy there who'd been in the military for about 25, 30 years, and he took retirement, early retirement. He's still a young man, probably late 40s, early 50s. And this guy is a hard charger. I mean, he's got his hair cut buff, does 100 push-ups a day. I mean, he is one tough dude. Now, the only problem is that he came from a military family. And his dad, also a military man, treated mom like a private. And this man, you know, modeled that. He treated his wife. He would bark orders at her. And everyone in the church knew it. Now, he gets in an Every Man a Warrior study. He took early retirement. He's got some free time. And he's a disciplined guy anyway. So in Every Man a Warrior, he learned how to have a quiet time. And he started out at 15 minutes, and then it was 30. And he had this extra time, and he found that he was so enjoying this that he started spending an hour a day with God. He was working ahead on his verses. And he got into book two, Marriage and Raising Children. And in the middle of that, we have some specific quiet times in book two that you're supposed to have. In the middle of that, the supreme commander of the universe spoke to this military guy and said, you are not kind to your wife and it dishonors me. Now, men, that's the kind of thing that has to get our attention. And over the next 3 or 4 weeks, this guy was under such conviction every time he did his quiet time, and he started reviewing verses like, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. Husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way and treat her with honor." And within a few days, he went and apologized to his wife and began to ask her forgiveness. And in the next few months, he changed so dramatically that the whole church saw it. Now, that was the first year that they used Every Man a Warrior. There was about 12 guys in the two groups that first year. And so when they wanted to do the launch for the second year in August, they had me come down and speak. And this guy shared a testimony of how God had spoken to him and said, "You are not kind to your wife, and it dishonors me." And he shared how, since God had spoken to him, that he had changed the way he related to his wife. He focused on being kind to her. And from his testimony and from what the other men in the church had seen, now this is a church of only about 400 or 500, that second year, 75 men signed up to go through Every Man a Warrior. Partly because they saw the change in this man's life. Partly because his wife went and told every other wife that her husband had deeply changed. Men, you and I are supposed to be bright lights in a dark world. And when you and I don't spend enough quality time with God to hear his voice, then you and I stay stuck. We don't change. Your love relationship with God is the foundation for real life transformation. And men, if you want to become a better man, if you want to become the man God wants you to be, you start by focusing on your love relationship with God. Okay? That's the great commandment. Now, after this, I went to the place of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, and when I found this, I hit the jackpot, because Paul says specifically what is necessary for us to do to build spiritual leadership. And in these two passages, I know it's a little hard to read, we're gonna break them apart, but in these two passages, Paul says to Titus and Timothy basically the same thing. He said, "Men, we've been out on these missionary journeys. We started all these churches. Now, I want you to go back and appoint elders, deacons, spiritual leaders in every one of the churches." And then he began to break out what it was that these men of spiritual maturity should look like. And he began to give us a target for what we should shoot for. Now, the first one, as you can see here, there are 19 different character issues. 19 different character issues. And character for a man is by far the most important thing. Once again, this is why Jesus gave us the great commandment. Men, for your character, for your life to change, you have to spend time with God. But let's break this down. We're going to come back to this issue of character. We're going to ask the question, how does God build character into the life of a man? So, look what's next, though. By far, the two most important and the biggest things in this passage is the issue of marriage and raising children. The issue of marriage and raising children. Men, get this. Paul is describing to Titus and Timothy the most important aspects of a spiritual leader in the church. And he spends more time and energy on this passage in the issue of marriage and raising children than any other thing. Men, we need to have a building block in our ministry for men that helps them succeed in marriage and raising children. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Now, the next one is money. And it doesn't look like a lot here, but if you add to this the fact that Jesus talked about money some 55 times in the four Gospels, more than any other subject than prayer in the kingdom of God, you begin to realize, money's an important deal. And so we need to have a building block in our men's ministry that has to do with the issue of money. Now, we tie work to this because we go to work to earn money. Okay? See where I'm going with this? Now, the next one is sex and moral purity. Wow, look at how much is in these two passages on sex and moral purity. Now, it is no longer in our culture just about being faithful to your wife. It is about being self-controlled, disciplined, upright, holy. above reproach, have a good reputation with outsiders. One of the most significant things that is destroying men in the church today is this issue of pornography. And if you're going to be involved in men's ministry, you have to have some basic understanding of how pornography destroys the soul of men. The biggest movement now among young people, young men, is men who are going celibate because they have been addicted to pornography, and they get married and they can't have normal sex with their wife. This is a huge movement on the internet now. More websites are coming up on this. How to get set free from pornography, because these men in their 30s are getting married, and because their body has been trained to respond a certain way sexually through pornography, they get in bed with a live woman and it's not working. This is amazing. Now, the thing that scares me is that 90% of college men use pornography 3, 4, 5 times a week. When my son-in-law, Tyler, was dating my daughter, Karen, I asked him, he was in a fraternity. I said, Tyler, how much pornography is in your fraternity? He said, in every room, on every computer. Now, I had daughters, or have daughters, and the thing that scared me as I was doing research on this is I found that 90% of college men would force their date to go ahead and have sex if they knew it wouldn't be reported as a rape. Pornography changes the mind of a man. Pornography causes a man to begin to look at women as objects, not as people. I was talking to a friend here recently, and he told me how he was just flipping channels, and he came across the TV channel. There was obviously just had been a sex scene, and the woman's still laying in bed, and the man's getting dressed, and the woman starts to talk about her family, and the man says, be quiet, shut up. You are here for my pleasure and my pleasure alone. Man, this is just the opposite of God's plan for men. God's plan for men is that men would protect women, that they would cherish women. And our culture is being overwhelmed with this cancer called pornography. Men, if we're going to be involved in men's ministry, we have to help men in the area of sex and moral purity. And Paul knew this 2,000 years ago. And so we've got to have a building block called sex and moral purity if we're going to have effective men's ministry. Okay. Now, I told you that we were going to come back to this issue of character. How does God build character into the life of a man? Is there a man here who has not gone through hard times? Well, if you haven't, you will. Every one of us goes through hard times, and as Christian men, it's even promised. In fact, in James 1, 2-4, it says, rejoice when you meet trials of many kinds. You know that the testing of your faith is what develops perseverance, and perseverance must have its full impact so that you can grow and become mature and complete, not lacking in anything. God uses hard times to grow and develop us. This is where you and I develop some spiritual backbone. See, the issue is not the hard time. The issue is whether or not you are going to persevere during the hard time. And those of you who have gone through Every Man a Warrior, you know that we teach men how to go to God and do what's right in the middle of hard times. I think that's the next slide. Because most men get into a hard situation. The marriage starts to go south, the kids aren't doing well, and they want to bail out. And they don't have very many models around them of men who have said, no, I'm going to go to God and do what's right. Now, when you and I go to God and do what's right in the midst of hard times, that's when God begins to build you into a warrior. That's when God begins to give you some spiritual backbone and some strength. And God does not waste pain. God does not waste pain. Many of you have heard my story, how 7 years into my marriage, my wife began to fall apart because she began to remember that she had been abused as a child. And we went from having a wonderful marriage and a wonderful life to just, it was awful. And she's never recovered. That's how God built every man a warrior into me. He wrote it in me first. And I've looked back on this, and I realized it now, that God had to write. How many of you have been in book two? How many of you have memorized the marriage commitment? It is my privilege to show my love for Jesus by caring for my wife, to love her, show her honor, try to understand her, and to give up my rights and my life for her. And I look back on that now and realize that God had to write that in me first before I could stand before a group of men and say, men, when your marriage turns south, you hang in there. You go to God and you do what's right, because God doesn't waste pain. Go to God and do what's right. You'll never regret that. God is always faithful. So we're going to have a building block called going through hard times. And those of you who have been through Every Man a Warrior, you know, we've got stories of men who lose a business, marriages that go south, teenage children that don't do well. And this is where we live as men. And men, this is where we need to have answers, because the world around us has already decided that our Christianity is not effective or doesn't have answers. And so when you and I go to God and do what's right in the midst of hard times, they begin to see a little bit of a light over here. Here's a man who's different. And when they begin to ask about it, you can share with them how it's the person of Jesus Christ. Men, we've got to help men go through hard times and come through victorious. Now, Paul and Jesus both brought us this last principle. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28, you guys all know this, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples who would go and make disciples. And Paul said a very similar thing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, Timothy, the things you've heard me tell you, I want you to tell faithful men who would be able to teach others also. This should be the norm. Christian men should know how to pass spiritual truth on to another man. Now, this is the place where we are really dropping the ball, in my opinion. Until you and I know spiritual truth, you can't pass it on to another man. Until a spiritual truth has taken root in you, you can't pass it on to your children or to another man. Now, why is spiritual reproduction so important? It's the Great Commission. We talk about that. But as I go around and see men's ministries, very few ministries actually do this effectively. We are having quite a lot of success with Every Man a Warrior, and we're going to talk about that more. But why is spiritual reproduction so important? Here's the key. Men, you and I come to spiritual maturity when we begin passing spiritual truth on to another man. Did you get that? You and I come to spiritual maturity when you and I begin to pass spiritual truth on to another man. Now look at this illustration. When we do a lecture or a reading or an audio visual, it gets into us at a 5, 10, 20% level. At what level does it get into you at a 90%? It's when you begin to teach it. And so until you get spiritual truth, and that's why in Every Man a Warrior, you come out of there with 5 verses on marriage, 5 verses on money, 5 verses on raising children, and how to put them into practice. Until those take root in you, you can't pass them on to another man. So men, we have to make it our objective in our men's ministry to get men to a point where they are regularly passing spiritual truth on to other men. Okay? Now look at this. My friend Don Kissinger is sitting right down here. He's on staff with Every Man a Warrior in Albany. He's got about 25 groups. Why? Come say hi to Don sometime. Don gave me this. Those first three layers of teaching are what we call passive. Passive learning. It basically means that you and I sit there and we turn our brain off. And most of what we do in teaching people spiritual truth comes in a lecture format. That's what I'm doing right now. Now, there's places for that. But if you're going to build a men's ministry that really transforms men's lives, you cannot rely on that alone. It just won't happen. What we need to do is to get men into the active learning stage. Active learning, where they have to discuss this issue. They have to practice by doing. They have to teach others. Now, in your conference booklet, you have this illustration. I want you to turn to it in your conference booklet. It's on page 14. I was putting together this slides, and for some reason, I think it was the Holy Spirit, I just pulled up the file. I have 7 pages of emails that men have sent me saying, Lonnie, here's what's going on with Every Man a Warrior. And I just happened to pull that up, and this quote by Doug Redford. Doug is the spiritual formation pastor at Ada Bible Church in Grand Rapids, a church of about 8,000. And when he started using Every Man a Warrior, here's what he emailed me out of the blue. He said, I like Every Man a Warrior because it develops skills as well as teaches solid biblical truth. Too much of the church experience for most men has been observational and passive. Every Man a Warrior requires that men get involved. Men, do you want to have a ministry where men's lives are transformed? Where men's lives change? Then we've got to get them into those kind of learning techniques that are active in nature and eventually to the point where they can pass spiritual truth on to another man. One of the things I've learned, can you see that guy there? The tattoo is optional, actually. You don't have to get those. This guy came up to me at a conference and said, I love Every Man a Warrior, and he pulled that baby up, and I thought, I got to take a picture of that. Yeah, if we could turn the lights down here a little bit, that might be better. Men won't reproduce something that's not relevant. If you're doing a men's ministry and the information you're giving them is not relevant, I can already tell you they're not going to show up. Men will not do something that's not relevant, and men won't reproduce something they're not committed to. That's why we see reproduction in Every Man a Warrior, on average, many places at about 50%. 50% of the men who go through Every Man a Warrior will go on and reproduce, go on and lead another group themselves. We have some places where it's as high as 90%. That's a more rare, and we're going to talk about that a little more this afternoon. But it should be something that is more the norm. Now, the key is men won't reproduce something unless it's not relevant. The key to a successful multiplying men's ministry is help men win the battles they fight every day. Men, if you do this, they will come. If you do this, they will come. Now, I have a very, very important question to ask you. This is a men's ministry equipping conference. So it's a little bit different than maybe some of the conferences. It's certainly different than what you'll do on Sunday morning, and that's okay. But we're here to figure out how to be equipped to better have men's ministries that work, that succeed. And so I need to ask you this question. Is this a biblical template for men's ministry? This may be the most important question that you ask today. Is this a biblical template for men's ministry? We've got the great commandment to love God with all of our heart at the bottom. We've got the great commission as the capstone. Go and multiply. Go make disciples in all the world. And in between, we've got what Paul said was necessary to build men into spiritual leaders, elders, deacons, spiritual leaders. The reason I'm making a big deal out of this is because men, if we don't know what the target is, then how do we know if we're going to be a success or when we've been successful? If we don't know what we're shooting for, if we don't know what we're trying to build, then we'll end up going a number of different ways. Now, one of the things I've learned over the years is that God has a specific call on everyone's life. And so some of you will be led by God to be involved with the homeless, or you'll be involved in fighting against abortion, or you'll be involved in helping to teach Sunday school at your church, or you'll be involved in certain things, and that is all wonderful and good. But I'm convinced that for a man to labor in ministry for the long haul, we have to help him get these foundational building stones in place first. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he is forming a leadership team in his church for the men's ministry. And so a few guys signed up, and every one of the guys came with a different opinion as to what the target was. One guy says, no, it's evangelism. We should need to teach men how to do evangelism. And that's a good thing. Another guy said, no, we want to teach men about end times. Well, that's a good thing. Oh, no, we need to teach men about spiritual gifts. Well, that's a good thing. Everyone who came to the meeting had a different idea of what their men's ministry should look like. And so, men, if the target is not clear in our minds, then we can end up doing anything. If you've got a strong personality in charge of men's ministry, you're going to end up doing what he wants to do. So, men, I ask you again, is this a biblical template for men's ministry? Because if it is, that has implications. That means this is something we would do over and over and over again. We would always focus on helping men love God, walk with God, succeed in life, and multiply. We would always do that. This is where we would start with every man who wanted to be involved in your church or men's ministry. Now, I know not everybody's ready for this, but once a man comes and says, hey, I'm ready to, you know, I want to succeed in life. I want to have a good family. Teach me how to be a man of God. Where are you going to start? If we don't have a clear target in men's ministry, then we're vulnerable to go do anything. Now, how many of you went to Promise Keepers? Promise Keepers was a wonderful ministry and a movement of God. Lots of men came to Christ in Promise Keepers. Lots of men made lordship decisions. And God used it tremendously. But I've had dozens, literally hundreds of men tell me this. I got challenged to be a better man, and then I went home and I didn't know how. And I've done this myself. I've given messages at church where I try to do a motivational message. You need to become a better husband. You need to be a better father. You need to practice spiritual truth and train your children with spiritual truth. And the men go, yes, I want to do that. How do I do that? And this is where the curriculum of Every Man a Warrior comes in, because it gives men specific skills to become the man God wants him to be in each one of these areas. So men, I'm asking you again, is this a biblical template for men's ministry? Because unless we know what the target is, we're going to get off track. Now, the exciting thing that's about this is that men are crying out for this kind of help. You go to a group of men and say, hey, I got a Bible study. It's about money, marriage, raising children, sex, moral purity, and work. Does any of that interest you? And they will all raise their hands. And it's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul said those were the things that need to be built into a man's life for him to be a future elder, deacon, spiritual leader. Men, wherever I go, and I did church consulting for 5 years, pastors would tell me, we just don't have enough mature spiritual men to lead in the church. And I would ask the question, well, how are you going to build them? And nobody knew. Men, I believe that the Scripture gives us everything we need for life and godliness. How many believe that? How many of you believe that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, so that the man or woman of God would be thoroughly equipped for every good work? And I'm convinced that God does give us a template for men's ministry. We just need to go figure out how to do it. Okay, I think that's it. Let me see where we are here. Hey, we're at the end of our time. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our next guy come up, and he's going to tell us a little bit about our coffee break. Lord, thank you for this group of men. We acknowledge before you that we need your help. Our culture is going the wrong direction. We see it. We don't know what to do about it. We want to have influence, but many times we don't know how. So Lord, would you help us to grow into men who have a clear understanding of what the target is in men's ministry? Help us to be like the Apostle Paul, who said by the grace God has given him, he laid foundations as an expert builder. Would you help each one of us to become the men that you want us to be, and then grow into the men who can be an expert builder into the lives of another man? Thank you for this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.